Morning at today's daf and Shabbos Kuf Lamed Ches. We started yesterday the 20th parak of Masechta Shabbos of the 24 prakim that this Masechta entail. So we are now approaching the end as we begin Parak Chaf. 20th parak of the Masechta opens up with two issues. One of them having to with one scenario. The one scenario is putting a mishmaret, putting a sieve over a jar in order so that we can sift the wine. Now, sifting the wine, of course, is a malacha. We're going to be discussing that over the course of today's daf. It is borer in the very least. It could be meraki. We're going to be discussing that a little bit later on. But in the meantime, however, just putting the sieve on top of the jar itself. So basically, you're putting a makeshift rooftop on top of a jar. Making a makeshift rooftop, that's a siyas ha'ohel. That is the making, that's the construction of a tent on Shabbos, which is prohibited. Now, if you make a koveah, if you make it a fixed one, so that's binyan, that's building. Now, obviously, if you're putting a sieve over a jar, that's not kavua. That's not something which is going to last permanently. It is certainly not an issa daraisa, but in the very least, it should be an issa darabanan. Asiyas olri, making a temporary tent is going to be prohibited both on Shabbos and on Yontif, and so therefore the conclusion should be that it is a prohibited activity on Shabbos. Now, you would think that's the conclusion, and according to the Chachamim, that is a conclusion. But there is the Shita Rebbe Eliezer. If you look back at the Mishnah, I went through the Mishnah yesterday. It's a short Mishnah. We're going to start the Mishnah again, and we're going to begin. Rebbe Eliezer, Omer Tolnas Mishmas B'Yomtov. So Rebbe Eliezer says that on Yomtov, you could put the sieve over the jar on Yomtov. But no snil l'tluya b'Shabbos. Now, you can't do that on Shabbos, meaning you can't put the sieve on top of the jar on Shabbos, but once the sieve is already there, so you can pour the wine through in order to separate the dregs from the wine. And you could do that on Shabbos. Now, why can you do that on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Eliezer? So stay tuned, we're going to discuss. According to the sheet of the Chachamim, you can't put the sieve on top of it on Yantav. That would be an act of Asiyas Ohel, and therefore it'd be prohibited on Yantav. Additionally, according to the Chachamim, you cannot pour through the sieve on Shabbos. That would be an act of Borer, and therefore you cannot do so on Shabbos. The only thing you can do, according to the Chachamim, is you can pour through the sieve on Yantav itself. Yantav, there is a relaxation of the rules in terms of cooking. There is the heter v'ochel nefesh, and therefore, according to the Chachamim, one can pour the wine through the sieve on Yantav. And again, that also is going to be discussed in some more detail later on. But meanwhile, the first thing that we need to address is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, which the Gemara does right away. Rabbi Eliezer says that you can actually put the sieve on top of the jar on Shabbos. Now the Gemara says, not only is it difficult to understand because it is a Asiyas Ohel, we happen to know that on the topic of a Asiyas Ohel, Rabbi Eliezer takes a very strict position. Hashta, we start with the Gemara. Hashta Rabbi Elazar Sufei, Ohel Arai Lo Musfinan, Lemeev Lechatchila Sharei. Remember what we learned earlier, says the Gemara, where according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can't even add on to an existing Ohel. And if that's true, according to Rabbi Eliezer, certainly to make an ohel l'chatchila would be absolutely prohibited. So Mahi did not, and the Gemara reminds us, we did this back on Kuf Chaf Hei, here in Masechet Shabbos. Pekaka chalon, if you have a shutter to the house, Rabbi Lazar omer b'zman shekashuv talui pokekin bo, v'imlav ein pokekin bo. So Rabbi Lazar says the only way that you can install the shutter is if the shutter is already installed. Meaning to say, it's already attached on a string to the wall, and not only that, but it's not dragging on the ground. It's suspended in the air. Then and only then is it still considered part and parcel of the household, and then can you shutter in the home. Otherwise, according to Rabbi Elazar, you cannot shutter in the home. Now, shuttering the home, that's mosif. That's just simply adding on. And Rabbi Elazar says that's prohibited. And the Chachamim say, no, even if the shutter is a string is loose and it's hanging on the ground. And remember, we discussed this at length in terms of what exactly the shita of the Chachamim is. Does it even need to be tied at all? And the Gemara earlier had that lengthy discussion within the sheet of the Chachamim. But our focus right now is on the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, where Rabbi Eliezer says you can't even do Hosafa. And if I can't do Hosafa, for sure I wouldn't be able to make it lechatchila. The Amar Rava Barbacham and Amar Rabbi Yochanan and Halkol Modim Shein Oskin Oel Arai B'tchila B'yontov V'in Tzarech Lom Rabbi Shabbos. And remember, on top of that, we had the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that said that lechatchila, to make an Oel Arai on Shabbos, is strictly forbidden. You can't do it on Yontif, and certainly can't do it on Shabbos. Lo nechukul ala la hosif. And the only debate over here is hosafa. Shereb Lazar Omer. Ein mosifim b'yomtov, vein tzarech lomer b'shabbos, vechachamim omrim, mosifim b'shabbos, vein tzarech lomer b'yomtov. And the entire debate is only regarding adding to an ohel, But to make an ola chatchila, that certainly is going to be prohibited. And even on adding, Reb Lazar's position is you're not even allowed to add. So where we are right now is we're stuck. Meaning we know that Reb Lazar on his position regarding binyan ol asiyas ohel, for sure you can't make it lechatchila, but everyone agrees to that. You can't even add according to Rabbi Lazar. And then how do you understand our Mishnah here, the opening Mishnah of the 20th parak of Masechah Shabbos, where the Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Lazar, you can put the sieve on the jar, you're making a roof, and you're doing so on Yantiv. You can do so. So how does that work? So Rabbi Lazar, Savalak, Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's true, but Rabbi Lazar subscribes to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. What sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? Ditanya in Ben Yom till the Shabbos Ela Ochel Nefesh Bovad. So we are quoting here the Mishnah Megillah. No difference between Shabbos and Yantav, with exception to Ochel Nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda Matir Af Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. And Rabbi Yehuda allows even for Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, not only are the actual acts of food preparation going to be permitted on Yantav, but preparatory stages as well. And so what the Gemara now is suggesting is that Rabbi Eliezer holds that preparatory stages are permitted like Rav Yehuda. Now it's interesting that the Gemara suggests this because we have now spent the last perek, at least the beginnings of the last perek, talking at length about how Rabbi Eliezer is allowing machshire. So it really shouldn't come to a surprise to us at all. In fact, it's a little bit strange that the Gemara here takes us the route through Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, we could simply go directly to Rabbi Eliezer. But anyway, okay, but Rabbi Yehuda allows machshire. So the Gemara says, "Emer d'shamin leil Rabbi Yehuda ben machshirin sheyev shalasos tamer av yamtov ben machshirin sheyev shalasos tamer av yamtov mishamaslei." So the Gemara says, it happens to be that we know that shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Yehuda does allow for machshire ochel nefesh to be done on yamtov, but that's only if you could not have done that before yamtov. If you could have done it before yamtov, Rabbi Yehuda does not allow machshirin to be done on yamtov. So the Gemara says, that's fine. The shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Lazar Adifa mid the Rabbi Yehuda. We are talking about the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. He actually is even more lenient when it comes to the topic of Machshire. Even if the Machshire could have been done on Erev Yantiv, Rabbi Eliezer allows for the performance of Machshire to be done on Yantiv. What comes out now from all this is that according to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, Machshire Ochel Nefesh is allowed on Yantiv. Yes, making an Ohel is forbidden. But for Yantiv purposes, for the purposes of food preparation, so Rabbi Eliezer would not only allow the food preparation itself, meaning the pouring of the wine through the sieve, that is actual ochel nefesh, and then on top of that, putting the sieve on top of the jar, so yes, that's binyan ohel, but on Yantiv would be permitted under the category of machshirei ochel nefesh. The Chachamim Amrim, continuing now in the Gemara, now we're at the Shita of the Chachamim. Ibailahu talamai. Now, we are going to turn to the sheet of the Chachamim, which is that you're not allowed to put the sieve on top of the jar. That would be Asiyas Ohel. Now, the Gemara wants to know, if you do that, what Isser would one violate? Or what level of Isser would one violate? Again, it's Asiyas Ohel. So, Am Rav Yosef Tala Chayiv Chata. So, Rav Yosef opens up the discussion with a really strong statement, and that is, it's an Isser Daraisa. One would be violating the Isser Malacha of Bona min Torah, and had the subject to bring in carbon chatas, if he did so, bishogeg. Amale abaya lamiata, talakuza, besichta, hachinami de mechayev. So let me ask this. So you're putting something up, you're suspending something over something else. You really want to call that an isser daraisa? Let me ask you, if I were to take a jar and put it on a peg, where now the jar is basically serving as a makeshift roof for everything underneath, that's an isser daraisa? It's just untenable that that could be viewed as an isser daraisa. And admittedly, putting a sieve over a jar does look a lot more like a rooftop structure, but still, when all said and done, we're talking about jars and jugs, and it's hard to imagine that that would be an Issa Dereisa of Binyan. So Elam Arabai, we now turn to the top of Kuflan Chesmet Aleph. So Abai says, okay, we're going to have to modify. He does not agree with Rav Yosef. Midrabanan hi shalo yaseh kederach shuose b'chol. So Abai says that this is an Issa Derabanan. Now, it's an Issa Derabanan, it's not an Oel Kavua, it's not a fixed tent. You're just simply putting the sieve over the jar. It's an Oel Rai, and so therefore it would be an Issa Derabanan. Now, had he not qualified his statement anymore, so one could have simply suggested that the Issa Derabanan would be, it's Oel Rai. It's a temporary tent, and the Chachamim banned it. But if you look carefully, read carefully the Gemara, and the Gemara does not leave it unqualified, the Gemara actually explains, Shelo Ya'aseh Kederach Shu Oseh B'chol. The reason why this kind of activity is forbidden on Yontif and on Shabbos is because it's like a weekday activity. In fact, Rashi writes over here, take a look at the top Rashi, The Chachamim are the ones who tell us not to put the sieve on top of the jar. So Rashi here opens up the category of uvda dechol, it's a weekday activity. Rashi is just simply echoing the sentiment of the Gemara that this is a weekday activity. And so there, now we get onto a topic which is really hard to define, and that is this topic of uvda dechol. In other words, when an activity is banned by the Chachamim on Shabbos, sometimes the reason why they banned it is not because it is a malacha, not because it looks like any particular malacha, but it's just simply too much of a weekday activity. It's not Shabbos dik. Now, that term is a legal term. In terms of how to implement that legal term, that is going to be a challenge, but certainly a legal term. This is what's called uvda dechol. And just to highlight how challenging it is to explain uvda dechol, so let's take a look at the top Tosas over here, where Tosas points out, remember the argument that Abaye had against Rav Yosef? It can't be an Isser Doraisa, because look, if I take a jug and put it on a peg, and now that jug is suspended in the air, and now there's an area underneath the jug now is serving as some sort of makeshift roof over top, he says, you know that's not Usser, and Tosas points out, and when Abaye was making this argument, what he was really arguing is, you know that's not Usser at all, meaning that's not Usser min HaTorah, that's not even Usser min HaRabbanan, that's nothing, it's not an Isser. And meanwhile, over here, when it comes to the putting the sieve over the jar, so that's being described as an Isser DeRabbanan. So Tosus points out that Uvda DeChol sometimes is going to be implemented, sometimes not going to be implemented, and it's the Chachamim's, obviously, it's within the Chachamim's discretion in order to ascertain which times to implement it, which times to not. But nevertheless, you see that even in the comparison, side by comparison of Abaye's question, in our case over here, the case of the jug hanging on the peg, not Isser at all. The case of the sieve putting on top of the jar, uvda dechol. Okay, so it becomes a little bit challenging in terms of when to know when to implement it. We don't have to know, meaning we just follow the Chachamim. But in terms of what is going to be the guiding the guiding signs, so admittedly, Tosus admits you just simply have to follow. Mankir Abaye, we are on Kufla Mechesam at Aleph. Two lines down, Mankir Abaye Chumrei Miasnisa V'Tzini. So Abaye makes a collection. He makes a collection of different brises, thematically all linked and connected, and he teaches us. There are going to be three different categories within each category. The first category is going to have four cases. Second category have one case. Third category is going to have three cases. We'll see. Hagod, V'Hamishmeres, Kila, Kisegalan Lo Yaseh V'Im Aser Patar Aval Aser. So there are four different types of constructions where you're not allowed to do so, and if you do so, you're going to be violating Isser DeRabbanan. We're going to go through each one. The goad, Rashi describes as being some sort of stitched leather pouch. And what happens with this pouch as people are traveling is that it has straps, and the straps are put along the posts. So basically, it serves almost like a makeshift roof. And this is makeshift, this is arai, and so therefore putting it up on Shabbos or on Yontov would be an Isser DeRabbanan. The mishmeres, well, that's what we've been describing over there. That's the sieve on top of the jar. Kila is a bed canopy. So that also is going to be looked as a makeshift roof. And the kisegalin, so kisegalin over here gets a little bit tricky. Because if you look at Rashi by kisegalin, so Rashi describes it as some sort of makeshift bed. Rashi writes in the Dibra Maskel kisegalin, kamo mita galinisa dekira. We discussed this all the way back in the third parak of our Masepta. It's a bed that constructs and deconstructs. And Rashi says it's a name of a place, Galanisa or Galin. And Umifarkinan mitosehen vikisa osan v'toranin osan imahem v'chozer n'machzir osan. And what happens with this bed is that you take it apart, you put it back together again. Now, over here, the issue, says Rashi, with this fourth example, is that it's not so much a problem of ol arai. The problem is that when you put it back together again, you may do so in a permanent position. Look at the next Rashi. Lo yaseh de'ol ha'ra'ininu v'kisei galen namik zerah shema yitaka b'chozek. So Rashi writes that for the first three, it's an issue of ol ha'ra'i. For this fourth example over here, you may put it in and you may put it in tight. And therefore, it would fall under the category of, I'm saying it like Rashi, makeh b'patish. Okay, now the challenge with Rashi over here is that seemingly everything over here should be an ol ha'ra'i issue. This fourth one, according to Rashi, is not an ol arai issue. That's a little bit strange. And this observation, you can find in the second Tosus on our Amud. I'm not going to go through it right now. But you can see that Tosus is bothered by the fact that Rashi's fourth example over here is not an Oel Arai issue. But anyway, continuing now, that's category number one. Category number two, Oel Ekeva Lo Yasev V'Yemasa Chayev Chatas, making a permanent structure on Shabbos with a roof over the top is going to be a violation of Issa D'Oraisa. And then, Aval. And now in our third category over here, Mita Kisei Traskal Asla, Mutal and Tosan L'Chatchila. However, in these three examples, the example of a Mita is basically like a Murphy bed, where basically the bed is taken from its horizontal position, and because we want to make more room in that in the room, so therefore we put in a vertical position. That's the Mita. So there's no OL that you're constructing, meaning all you're doing is just simply taking the bed and moving it from a horizontal to a vertical. Kisei Traskal, a folding chair. Asla, basically a folding toilet. So these are things which are Mutar L'Chatchila. One can fold and unfold them on Shabbos because you are not making an OL. The OL already was made. All you're doing is just simply folding and unfolding. And therefore, Mutar L'Gamrei. So fine, so Abaye now made this collection of various scenarios of OL Arai. The first is going to be Asur Midrabanan because it is a construction of an OL Arai. The second is going to be Nisa D'Oraisa because that's OL Kavua. And the third, it's already constructed. You're just simply either propping it up or propping it down, or you're just simply folding and unfolding it. Therefore, mutal chatchila. Ain osin letuli b'shabbes. Imai lehu shimer mai. The Gemara now wants to. We're moving on to the topic of the next topic of the Mishnah, which is the strainer, the usage of the strainer. And if you do so on Shabbos, so what kind of violation will one be violating? So Amar Rav Kahana shimer chayev chatos. So Rav Kahana says, what do you mean? If I use a strainer on Shabbos. So that's an Issa D'Oraisa. So Maskal Rav Shesh is Mi'ikim Mita D'Rabban Mechai V'Chatos V'Rabba Lazar Shar L'Chatchila. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. So over here, look at the gap that's been created between the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer says that the using of the strainer on Shabbos is Mutter. That's what he said back in the Mishnah. And then the Chachamim's position is that you're not allowed to use a strainer. And now the way we're explaining the Chachamim is that if you use it, you're subject to an Issa D'Oraisa. The Gemara says that is a wide range between the Sheet of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. So Maskal Rav Yosef, Alamalo. So Rav Yosef says, okay, it's a wide range. But the Gemara says, Rav Yosef says, that's not unprecedented. Alamalo, Hare, Irshol Zav. Now we go back all the way to the fifth parak of the Masechta, where there we talk about the clothing that a woman could wear and a woman cannot wear. Sorry, sixth parak of the Masechta, and in which we talked about the tiara that had a picture of Yerushalayim, and whether or not a woman can wear it on Shabbos is subject to a machlokas. And here we're going to have a range. Rav Meir Mechayev Chatas, Rav Elazar Shar Lechatchila. So Mahi. So we're going to go all the way from a position where it's Mutar Lagamrei to the position where it's an Issa D'Oraisa. And the Gemara now is quoting the Braisa, D'Tanya Lo Seisa Isha B'Irshol Zav, V'Im Yatzach Chayev Eschatas, Divrei Rameir. Rameir says it's an Issa D'Oraisa for one to go out with it on Shabbos. Rameir's of the position, it's a Masui, it's just simply a burden, and therefore an Issa D'Oraisa. And the Chachamim Amar Lo Seisa V'Im Yatzach Petura. And according to the Chachamim, a woman is not allowed to go out with it, but if she does so, Patur Aval Aser, the concern is that she's going to take it off and show it to her friends. It's an Issa D'Rabbanan. And Rebbe Lazar Yotze Isha B'Yirshol Zav L'Chatchila, and Rebbe Lazar says, Mutar L'Gamrei. So what we have over here is we're going all the way from Mutar L'Gamrei to an Issa D'Oraisa. Am Le'abai Misavis Rebbe Lazar Ad Rameir Kai, the Amr Chayev Chatas, Ad Rabbanan Kai, the Amr Patav Al Asar. V'Amr Lehu, Iyu Mutar L'Chatchila. The Gemara says, that example of Yirshol Zahav is not a great illustration of our issue over here, of our dilemma over here. Our dilemma over here is that there are two positions, Rav Elazar and the Chachamim, whether one is allowed to use a strainer on Shabbos. Rav Elazar says, Mutar L'Gamrei. The Chachamim say, Is Asur D'Oraisa. Over there, at least you have a bridge position. There is a middle position of an Issur D'Rabbanan. So if I'm looking at the extreme positions relative to the center, they're not far off from the center. Over here, however, there is no center position. There are just simply the two polarizing extremes of either it's Mutar L'Gamrei or it's an Issa D'Oraisa. So the Gemara just simply says it's not a perfect match between the two cases. Mishumai Masrinun Bey. Gemara over here now wants to know, according to the Chachamim, who say that it's Aser, and in Rav Kahana's understanding it's an Issa D'Oraisa. So when one is using a strainer on Shabbos, so obviously to prevent somebody from doing so, so you would like to, first of all, educate, and then afterwards, if we're beyond the point of education, and they're just simply at the point where they want to violate the Issa, So, and now we're at the point of warning. So what do? So you warn. So the Gemara now wants to know, Mishum Mai Masrin and Bay. So you're warning the person from doing so. What is going to be included in your warning? Now, interesting over here, the Gemara assumes that when giving Hasra, when giving a warning for somebody who's going to be violating Shabbos, so it sounds like from our Gemara's discussion that you have to present to him the Malacha. The Masra, the one who's giving the warning, has to himself be extraordinarily educated. Has to know about not only Hilcha Shabbos, he has to know all 39 Malachas. He has to know all 39 Malachas and which activity falls within each Malacha. Certainly sounds like the tone of our Gemara. Come back to that point in just a moment. Rabbi Amar Mishum Barre, Razer Amar Mishum Merake. So the Gemara here has a debate amongst the Amoraim in terms of what Malacha you're going to include in your Hasra. According to Rabbi, you're going to mention Barre. According to Rabbi Zer, you're going to be mentioning Merake. Now, between us, Merake sounds a lot better. Meaning, this looks a lot like sifting. Meaning, granted that we're talking about a liquid that's being poured through the sieve. But when all said and done, what is sifting? Sifting is where I take the flour, I put it on a sieve in order to separate the fine flour from the coarser flour. So over here, it's pretty much the same. If I had a horse, which I don't, but if I had a horse in the race, I would have gone with Merake. But the Gemara over here says that according to Rabbah, Borer is the Malacha that you're going to be mentioning. Now, Amar Rabbah Kavasi Didi Mistabra. Now each Amara is going to argue their position. Rabbah says, let me argue my position. Mardaka shall borrow no to Ocho Meniach Hapsolas. Because look, what is the nature of borer? Borer is that you take the good and you leave the bad. Over here, that's what you're doing. You're taking the good and you're leaving the bad. The sieve is there to leave the bad behind. So this is very similar to borer. I'm Rabbi Zer, Kavasi Didimistabra. So Rabbi Zer says, my position seems to be much more logical. My darkish omarake psolos malamala vaocha malamata. Avhachanami psolos malamala vaocha malamata. Look at Merake. What happens with Merake is I take the flour and I put it through a sieve and the fine flour goes through and the coarser flour, the refuse, the one you don't want, stays at top. Same thing over here. When I'm pouring the wine through the dreg, so the dreg stay on the top and the wine goes through. So if anything, this looks much more like Merake. And the Gemara basically leads this off as a debate. So there are a number of points that we're going to add over here to this discussion. First of all, let's cite Rashi right here on our daf. And that is, Rashi writes over here, this position of Rava, that it's Borer. Does that mean to say that he's of the position that it's Borer and it's not Merake? So Rashi says, no, let's not understand it that way. Rashi writes over here, Rashi Dibra Maskal, Nota Ocho Meniach Psolos, it's a little bit below where we are in the Gemara. Rashi writes, L'Rava, Hu Adinami Di'i Asrubei Mishum Merake Havya Hasra'o. Rava over here is not really limiting. Rabba's not saying it's Merake to the... I'm sorry. Rabba's not saying that it's borrowed to the exclusion of Merake. According to Rabba, of course Merake works. And as we intuited at the beginning of the discussion, this really looks a lot like Merake. Rabba's not arguing with that point. Rabba's just simply saying that if I say borer, that also works as well, says Rashi. Aval le-Rebi Zera, I asrubei mishum borer, lav asrahi. Delo dami le-bar, sha'och le-mato p'so samato, ma-she'en kim be-borer, the kitnisha psol samata. So, but as far as the other way is concerned, Rabbi Zera, when he's saying Merake to the exclusion of Borer. So over here, the way Rashi sets it up, Rabbi's just telling you what you could also be Masra, which you could also warn. Merake certainly works, Borer works as well. Rabbi Zera, on the other hand, says no. When you see somebody who is pouring through the strainer on Shabbos, so the Hasra has to be for Merakid and not Borer. Okay, that is Rashi's understanding of the machlokes between Rabba and Rabbi Zera. And on top of that also, we can go all the way back to the seventh parak of the Masechta, and we could review a Tosos. Although, quite frankly, I don't think I did the Tosos back in Daf Ayin Gimel, but now it would be a wonderful time to do so. As we already highlighted in the beginning of this discussion, it certainly sounds like from the Gemara that when warning somebody on Shabbos, the warning has to include the Malacha. That certainly sounds like the tone of our Gemara over here. So, Tosfos on Ayin Gimel Amud Bey, second Tosfos, says, and I'm reading from the Tosfos, Ein lo chiech mekan de tzarech lahasros atalo de mishum av. Deha lo kamer she tzarech lahasros de mishum zareya de chayev aval bereish fer tolin. So Tosfos says, now we're not going to go through the Gemara back on Ayin Gimel Amud Bey again right now, but Tosfos says, I'm not sold on the idea that when you warn somebody, the warning has to be coming through the Tolada, through the subcategory. Meaning over here, when you see somebody straining, so do you have to actually mention the Malacha? Tosfos says, I'm not convinced that that's so. And then he quotes the beginning of the 20th parak of the Masechta, otherwise known as our daf. And he says, Mashma Ksasa Tzarech Lahasros Atolada Mishamav. When issuing a warning, so it certainly sounds like from our Gemara, that you have to be warning using the proper Malacha. Dekamer Mishamer Mishumai Masrinun Bey. And Tosfos quotes our Gemara. Rabbi Amar Mishambara, Rabbi Zer Amar Mishamaraki, Begam Zeh, Yesh Lidchos. But Tosfos says, but I'll tell you what, I'm still unconvinced, says Tosfos, that when warning, you have to warn with the Malacha. Why? The Haki Perusha. Now Tosfos is going to give his understanding of our Gemara over here. And that is, Mishumai Masrinun Bey, Shei Chayav, Rabbi Amar Mishambara, Aval Im Hisruba Mishamaraki, Pater. Kaven de Masriya Mishum Davar Sheinu Domalo, Savar Shuhum Malig Bo, Upater. Aval in his rabo stam al tishamer chayev. So Tosos says like this. If you just simply say to the person, hey, don't do that, that is a prohibited activity on Shabbos. Do not strain on Shabbos. You don't have to give him the malacha. You don't have to give him the malacha. You don't have to identify what's the proper malacha. And even that alone, says Tosos, would serve as a good warning. However, what our discussion, says Tosos, is that if you're going to choose a malacha, don't choose the wrong malacha. Don't be wrong about the warning that you're giving. Why? The way Tosfos writes it is because if you give the wrong warning, so if he knows, if the recipient of the warning knows it's the wrong malacha, he'll just think, oh, he's making fun of me. He's not being serious right now. So Tosfos says that if you want to give hasra and you just simply want to say, don't strain on Shabbos, that is a prohibition, that serves as a good warning. And if you're going to use the malacha as your base model of what not to do, make sure that you choose the right one. And the only thing, says Tosfos, that our Gemara is telling us is that if I use the wrong malacha, so then that basically, that takes away the serious tone, the serious nature of the warning, and that's why the warning is not going to be good to warning. That is Tosfos' understanding of our Gemara over here. The simple pshat of our Gemara, before we got to Tosfos, is that when warning, you have to actually know which malacha the person is in fact violating. Continuing in the Gemara, we are about halfway down. Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel. Continuing now in our discussion of Asiyas Ohel. Talis Kfula Lo Yasevi Masa Pater Aval Aser. If you are going to be making a talis and folding it over, meaning the talis is basically serving as a canopy, so that is going to be an Isser Derabanan, and that's Ol Arai. Hayekaruch Talis. Sorry. Hayikaruch aleha chut o mishcha mutal and tosel chatchila. If, however, the talis is already tied, and all you're doing is just simply unfolding, unraveling the rest of the talis, that would be mutter. This is hosafa. And as we learned in the beginning of today's daf, and we learned earlier in the Masechta, to be mosif al ol arai is mutter. Now again, Rebbe Elazar is machmer, but we don't pass them like Rebbe Elazar, we pass them like the Chachamim. Bami ne rev kahana me rav kila mahu. The question was asked from Rav. What about making a canopy bed? Amalei af mita asuram. He says, what do you mean? The bed itself is asur. Mitama, what about making the bed? Amalei af kila muteris. He says, what do you mean? The canopy is mutter. Kila umita mahu. What about the canopy and the bed? Amalei kila asura umita muteris. He says that the kila is going to be prohibited, the canopy is asur, but the bed is going to be permitted. Now, if you've been trying to follow the back and forth over here, so we all are going to be understandably confused. Because questions were asked, answers were answered, and the answers, of course, did not agree with one another. Three different answers were given, where the first answer was that even the mita is going to be asur. The second answer is even the kila is going to be mutter. And then the third answer is, well, there's a difference between the kila and the bed. The kila is going to be prohibited, the bed is going to be mutter. And so, it was definitely difficult to follow. The Gemara acknowledges. V'lo kasha. Now, the Gemara says, here's how we're going to resolve everything. Had de kamar af mitasara kid de karmanai. So, the fact that we're saying that even the bed itself is going to be prohibited, meaning taking the mattress and putting it over the bed, that's going to be prohibited. That's talking about the bed that was made in a particular community. And that is what we discussed earlier this morning. The bed, the Galanisa bed, which Rashi described earlier as the fourth example of Abaye. So that is going to be prohibited to make on Shabbos. So the bed itself, the construction of the bed is going to be Asur. Remember, we quoted the Rashi earlier this morning, Shemigitaka, because I might really fix it in good. Anyway, the bed itself you're not allowed to make, and the canopy for that bed also you're not allowed to make. So that is what's going to be prohibited. Had the Karmelei Afkila Muteres be the Rami Barichesko. Now, as far as the kind of canopy that's going to be permitted, that's what we just learned, is that we already have the beginning of the sheet that is taught, that is already tied up, and you're just unraveling the rest of it. So that's being mosif, and that's fine. And kila asura mita muteres ke dididan. Now, as far as a bed and the canopy, where the bed is mutter and the canopy is usur, that's going to be basically what we described earlier. That's the bed where all I'm doing is just taking it from the vertical and bringing it down to the horizontal, like the Murphy bed. So that's fine. Making a canopy for it, that's an all arayin that you're not allowed to do. So the Gemara went through each scenario, explaining each one. I'm Rav Yosef Chazinu Lekili Debei Rav Huna. So Rav Yosef says, I want to testify that I saw the canopies of Rav Huna, Demi Urta Nigidu, where at the night they were tied to the bed, with Safra Chavita Ramya, and at morning they were taken down and they were put down on the floor. The Gemara doesn't give us much detail in terms of how it was tied and what exactly was put down on the floor. Anyway, there was some sort of construction, deconstruction. I'm Rav Mishum Rebbe Chia, Vilon Mutal and Toso. Rav quotes in the name of Rebbe Chia that you're allowed to put up a curtain. Rashi over here says, why? Because it's a vertical curtain. Rashi over here says, Ein Oel, last Rashi on the Amud, Ein Oel Ela Misha Asui Kein Gad, because the making of an Oel is only the roof. The walls is not a violation of Oel. Now, this should sound familiar, because when we discussed Oel early in the Masechta, so Rashi said the same thing, that the only Isser of Oel is only when it is the horizontal, when it's the roof. There is no Isser of a CSO when it comes to the making of walls. Now, Tosus, we quoted earlier, is not in full agreement with Rashi, but Shitas Rashi, throughout our Masechta, is that the Asiyas Oel is specific to the roof. In fact, I can show you another Rashi from today's daf. Well, actually, yesterday's. But if you take a look back at the beginning, Rashi, the first Rashi in the Gemara, in the beginning of this perek, Rashi Pekaka Chalon, Kigon Arubas Hagag. Rashi over there says that we're talking about the shutter of the roof. Meaning Rashi does not imagine the shutter over here is against the wall. If you're putting a shutter against the wall, that's not a problem of a CSOL. OL, according to Rashi, is only the horizontal. It's only the roof. It's not the wall. Okay. So it's clear from Rashi that that if we're only talking about the walls, there's no problem with it whatsoever. Again, Tosfos discussed this earlier. Tosfos is not in agreement with Rashi. The Amar Shmo Mishum Rebbe Chia. As we turn now to the top of the Amud Beis, Kilas Chasanim Mutal and Toso Mutal Aporka. If I have this canopy, so one is allowed to put it up, and one is allowed to take it down. Rashi over here writes that when we're talking about a canopy over here, we're not talking about canopy on four posts of the bed, but rather we're talking something looking much more like a V, like an inverted V, where the canopy comes only up to two points, and so therefore at the top, you do not have horizontal roofing. It basically comes to a point. And because of this, it is a technical issue, it's a legal issue. And it's simply that this is not an ohel because it does not have a horizontal roof. Now, on this, the Gemara is going to qualify. I'm Rav Sheshes Breder of Edi. Now, we're going to have four qualifications. The trickiest of these four qualifications is going to be the third one. I'll address it really briefly, but we're going to go through four qualifications. Number one, I'm Rav Sheshes Breder of Edi Lo Amar Nela She'in Begaga Tefach Ala Yesh Begaga Tefach Asura. First of all, qualification number one, and that is that if on the top of our V, and the top of our point, it does not get to a point, but rather it flattens out to the top, and it flattens out to a tefach, so that obviously is going to be serving as a roof. And so therefore now we have an ohel, and that is going to be prohibited. That's an ohel arai, and that's going to be prohibited on Shabbos. Number two, v'chi ein begaga tefach nami lo amarno l'she'ein bepachos mishosh ha-samach l'gaga tefach, aval yesh bepachos mishosh ha-samach l'gaga tefach asar. And even as we're getting now towards the point of where the inclining walls are going to meet, and let's say it does get to a point, and so therefore I don't have on the very top a flat roof. However, if I were to descend three tefachim, and in my descent of three tefachim, I can basically go from one end to the other one tefach, so that is going to be viewed as a single flat roof, even though halachically they're coming to a point, but because within three tefachim from the tip, it is now going to be one tefach from end to end, We're using the concept of lavud, basically taking that very top point and halachically squishing it down so that now that entire top area is viewed as a one tefach horizontal area, and therefore that also serves as a roof. That's qualification number two. And number three, lo amarna ela she'ein b'shipua tefach, ala yesh b'shipua tefach, shipua o'alim ko'alim. The third qualification is that let's say we have a slope, and the slope is such so that it is not only going to be serving as a wall, but it's also going to be serving as a roof as well. Rashi describes over here where basically the two slopes now, as we are going down from the tefach, the two slopes are two tefachim across. So basically that is not only going to be serving as a wall, but it's going to be serving as a roof as well. The Gemara's description over here, shipua o'alim, the incline of a tent, is viewed as a tent itself. Now this third qualification over here, it needs more clarification. Because over here, obviously, what kind of incline are we talking about? What kind of angle are we talking about over here? It's not clear. And if you take a look at the Girsa of the Vilna Gaon, he takes out this third qualification over here, where the Gemara discusses this back in Sukkah. The Gemara over there has a different conclusion. Anyway, this third qualification is subject to controversy. And finally, the fourth qualification, Velo Amaran, Ela Delo Nachis Mipurya Tefach, Ava Nachis Mipurya Tefach Aser. Now, one more qualification, and that is if the canopy not only goes down to the bed, but it actually goes under the bed as well. And so now this canopy is not only serving as a roof for the bed, but it is also serving, not only serving as a tent for the bed, but it's also serving for a tent underneath the bed. So that also serves as a problem now, because now it is basically turning, the bed itself also is being converted into an ohel, and that's going to be usher as well. V'amar Rav Sheshes, B'reder Rav Ibi, Haisi'ana, Shari. The Gemara now is going to be discussing a hat, and we're going to have conflicting statements regarding a hat. One position is that a hat is going to be a mutter to wear on Shabbos. Now, in the context of our discussion, what is the issue? So it's going to be clear, at least at the beginning, that the issue is going to be an issue of ohel, whether or not the hat qualifies as some sort of makeshift tent. We will see all this right now. So siyana shari, that wearing of the hat is mutter, v'hayim siyana asur. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have another statement that says that wearing the hat is going to be usur. Lo kasha had the isbe tefach had the isbe tefach. So the Gemara over here talks about the length of the brim. If the length of the brim is greater than a tefach, so that serves as a makeshift ohel. Therefore, usur. If it's less than a tefach, then it's not an ohel. To which the Gemara says, really? So elamiata sharvi beglima tefach achanami de mechayev. So the Gemara says, okay, so you have a hood, and it happens to be that the hood extends out. So you want to tell me now that once the hood extends out behind the tefach, that's going to be an issue of an ohel? So the Gemara says, Ela lo kasha. The Gemara says, okay. So we're going to resolve the distinction between the following. Hade mehadek, hade lo mehadek. It's a question of whether the hat is tied on tightly to your head or the hat is not tied on tightly to your head. And Rashi says over here, what the Gemara is doing is that the Gemara is still talking about the hat, but changing the issue. Rashi writes over here, Ela taima, la mishum ohelhu. The Gemara says, okay, the wearing of the hat has nothing to do with an issue of ohel, meaning that when it comes to clothing, clothing is just simply not connected to the topic of ohel. And the only issue is that if the hat is not tight onto your head, so you're walking, the hat's going to blow off, and you're going to end up picking up the hat, not putting it back on again, and walking while holding onto the hat. And it's just a simple gzera that we've discussed numerous times about whether or not the chachamim are concerned that we're going to be walking with an item for amos and rishus rabbah and rishus harabbi. That is the way Rashi presents the Gemara over here. That the Gemara just simply moved away from the ol issue and moved on to the simple gzera of shema yavirenu. I may end up carrying it. Take a look at Tosfos over here. Tosfos does not agree. Second Tosfos on the Amud. We're going to go on. So, Rami Bar Yecheskel, who we already quoted earlier in today's daf. So Rami Bar Yecheskel wants to hear some of the Torah of Rav. So he asks Rav Huna, and he says, please, could you share with me some of the Torah that was taught in the name of Rav? And the Tarti B'Shabbos, two issues related to Shabbos, and one regarding general Torah study. And the Gemara goes through all three. Shalach Lei. And he sent them back. Hadet Tanya. Gold, Besichna, Mutal, and Tosa B'Shabbos. We're going to go back to our pouch, our leather pouch, that we tied up. And we said that it is, well, earlier we said that it is prohibited to tie it up. That was Abaye's position. The Gemara quoted a Braisa that says, Mutl and Tosaf B'Shabbos, Amar Rav L'Shanu Ela Bebeis B'nei Adam, Avava Adam Echad Aser. So when you are allowed to tie it up, that's when two people are tying it up. Two people tying it up for reasons which I kind of understand, not fully, but when two people tie it up, so it's not going to be tied taut. But when one person ties it up, it's going to be tied taut, and therefore it's going to be prohibited. Amar Abaye V'Kila Afilu B'Yud B'nei Adam Aser. And when Abaye says that when it comes to the tying up of the canopy, so the canopy is always going to be tied taut. Even if 10 people tie it, it's going to be prohibited. Yashar delo mimtecha porta, because it's impossible to imagine that it's not going to be pulled along. And the entire purpose of the canopy is so that it be stretched over the bed, and therefore it's going to be usher under all circumstances. And there is no distinction to be made whether one person's putting it up or multiple people are putting it up. Idach mai. So that was one halacha. Here comes the second halacha that Rav Huna is sharing with Rami Bar Yecheskel, and this is Toras Rav. This is these are Masorah traditions that are going back to Rav. Second one, D'tanya Kira Shenishmata Achas Miyakaseha. If we have an oven, some sort of makeshift stove, and one of its legs falls off, Mutala Tautala. So you're still allowed to move it, because even though it's now resting on three, but that's still functional, and it therefore does not lose its status of a kli. Shtayim Aser, but once two fall off, so then it loses its status of being a kli. Rav Amar Afilu Chanami Aser Gzereshem Yitaka. And Rav's of the position that even when one leg falls off, it's going to be prohibited. You're not allowed to move it on. You're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Shabbos, obviously, it's a kli shel nafka l'iser. Even on Yontif, it's going to be muksa. Anyway, according to Rav, even with one leg gone, it's going to be aser, because the concern is that you're going to be tempted to take that one leg, try to reinsert it with force, and be in violation of presumably makeh bepatish. And finally, a third halacha, Torah, the Amar Rav Atida Torah shetishtakach miYisrael. And another teaching of Rav, and that is regarding the general position that Torah is going to be within the Jewish people. And over here, Rav has a tradition, and it's not a promising one, that Torah is eventually going to be forgotten. How do I know that? So we turn first to the Tochacha. Shenemar, we are in the Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo, the Yifla Hashem es Makoscha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you wounds, and the word the Yifla Hafla Zu Eni Yodea Mahu, Kishomer Lachin Eni Yosif Lahafli Es Amazeh, Hafla Vefela, Haveomer Hafla Zu Torah. So the Hafla, based on the Pesukim Yeshayahu, is a reference to Torah. And that means to say that we're going to be wounded, we're going to be inflicted with Torah. That means to say that there's going to be a general lack of Torah knowledge. When the Jews went to Karim B'Yavne, this is post-Chorban Beis HaMikdash, and now a reassemblage in the yeshiva of Yavne. Amru Asida Torah Shetishachet Yisrael. So they obviously were gripped with the fear that with no longer having a Beis HaMikdash, the Torah was going to be forgotten. Shenemer. Pasuk in Amos that there's going to be a famine, but the famine over here is not for food but for Torah. And continuing in the Pasuk in Amos, people are going to be looking and people are not going to be able to find, meaning no one's going to have knowledge of Torah. Dvar Hashem, and in the pasuk we describe that people are going to be failing to be able to locate Dvar Hashem. What is that a reference to? The Gemara says it's referring to three things: Dvar Hashem zu halacha, Dvar Hashem zu akeis, Dvar Hashem zu nevua. It's referring to halachic issues about when the galus is going to come to an end, issues of nevua. Ma yishot levakish es Dvar Hashem amar atili shalishiti tol kikar shol truma v'tachzor bevate kinesis v'bate medrashos. Leida im tamehi im the im tarehi the ain maven im tarehi the im tamehi im tamehi. So the Gemara says, I'll give you an example of what people are not going to know. People are going to be so ignorant of the Torah. A woman's going to go around with truma. She's going to go from shul to Beis Medrash. She's going to want to know, is it tamei or tahara? And no one is going to have an answer for her. Mm-hmm. Now, to which the Gemara says, what do you mean no one's going to have an answer for her? In other words, even in this ignorance of Torah, the Gemara is assuming people still know Chumash, people still know Mishnayos. So what kind of question is she going to ask that people are not going to know about? So Ksiv Ksivei, so Behejik Ksivei, Mikol ha'ocher asher yachel. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? We know that food is subject to tumma. So Eila leida im rishona hi im shnia hi. So the Gemara says, well, okay, she'll know the food is tummy, but what level of tumma is the food? Is it a rishon or is it a sheni? The ein mevin. So the Gemara says, hanami masnisani. The Gemara says again, even in this period of a dearth of Torah, so people know mishnayos. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Sher shenim sabatanor ha'pasha b'zochu shnia shatanu tchila. So the Gemara says that when I have a sheres that's found within a oven, meaning it's earthenware, it's klicheres, so the bread that's inside of it is going to be a sheni. The sheres is an avatoma, and so therefore the bread's going to be a sheni. So the Gemara says, shatanu tchila. So mistafka lehu hada amar le rav adar ba'av le rava. So the Gemara says, okay, that's true. However, there is the following question that arises. Lech say hi tanura command amal tuma v'tave pas rishona. So, Amarlei lo arminan lechse hai tanura kamanda mali tuma. So the Gemara says, well, the question becomes the following: we know that when it comes to a kli cheres and there's a sheretz inside, so how does that tuma spread throughout the interior airspace of the kli cheres? So there are basically one of two ways one could say it. One is that the interior airspace is basically just simply a conduit; it's a conductor, and that means to say that what happens is that the sheretz, which is obviously the avatoma, that's the source of the toma, the interior airspace now is going to take it, bring it over into the interior walls of the oven, and now the walls of the oven become a rishon. Subsequently, what happens now is that the airspace now is going to take that toma, bring it over to the bread that's in the same oven, and now the bread is going to be a sheni. That's one way in which we could say it. But the Gemara points out, there's another way in which we could say it, and that's the following, is that what the airspace does is it basically takes the tumma itself and circulates it throughout the entire interior airspace of the oven. Now, if that's true, that's as if to say that the sheretz itself is actually making contact with the bread. Now, if that's the way to understand it, the bread now becomes a rishon l'tumma. And the Gemara says, such a question, that's something which perhaps will not be known. The Gemara says, the time we have a brisa yachol yi kol akel metamin ba'aver kli cheres. Tam lomer kol asher besocho yitma. Mikol ocher asher yachol. Ochle metamin ba'aver kli cheres ve'en kelen metamin ba'aver kli cheres. But the Gemara here quotes a brisa, and the brisa says it very clearly. We're going to go with the first way we presented it, not the second way we presented it. What's the evidence? The evidence is the following. Let's say I have our oven. I have the sheretz inside the oven, and I have a kli inside the oven. Now, if we went with the second approach, which is that the sheretz, the tumah sheretz, is now being circulated throughout the entire interior of the oven, so even the kli should become tameh. But we know via drasha that the kli does not become tameh. How come the kli doesn't become tameh? Because the kli is only going to become tameh with direct contact with an avatoma, not through a tolada. And that means to say that the sheretz, the second way we present it is the correct way to present it, which is that the sheretz now goes and is metame the interior wall of the oven. Then in turn, it goes from the interior wall to whatever's inside, whatever else is inside. If it's food, it's going to become tame, because food can become metame from a tolada. But if it's a kli, it's not going to become tame, because a kli is not metame from a tolada. So the Gemara says, so even though that's something which in the future people are not going to know, but at least for the here and now, we know the answer. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Chas v'shalom shetishakach Torah Yisrael. So the Rashbi says, this entire discussion, what is going on over here? There is never going to be a historical point in history, in Jewish history, where the Torah is going to be forgotten from the Jewish people, Shenemar. The Pasuk says, Ki lo tishkach mi pizaro, elamani mekayim shotu levakish as far as Hashem lo yimtzu. So as far as the Rashbi is concerned, yes, the psukim that we describe in Amos, that people are going to go around and not going to find, what are people not going to find? Lo yimtzu shelo yimtzu halacha brua u'mishna brua b'makom echad. What they're not going to find is that somebody has a very good systematic hold of the Torah. Rashi, halacha brura, b'tamim, shelo yeba machlokas. Meaning a perfect understanding of the Torah, if you have a perfect understanding of the Torah, everything synthesizes one with another. There's not going to be debates on issue, because everything has a categoric place in which it belongs. And so, under those circumstances, you're going to have not only the halacha, but it's going to be clear, and it's going to be without machlokas. That's what the Navi is forecasting for the future. But the idea, says the Rashbi, that the people are going to forget the Torah, the Rashbi says that we have a promise that's never going to happen.
Let us recap. Let's review the daf.
We started the 20th parak of the Masechta this morning. Two issues coming up at the beginning, and that's the issue of putting the sieve on top of the jar. This is a question of a Asiyas Ohel, and using the strainer itself. And in the Mishnah Machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, Rabbi Elazar takes a really lenient position regarding putting the sieve on the jug on Yantiv. But as we learned in the beginning of today's shir, that has to do, it's a function of Rabbi Elazar allowing for Machshire Ochel Nefesh. Not only is Ochel Nefesh going to be mutter, but Machshire Ochel Nefesh is also going to be mutter as well. Which parenthetically, didn't mention this earlier, but it's not too late. And that is, now we understand the continuation of the 20th parak from the 19th parak. Meaning there does not seem to be any connection whatsoever, transitioning from the 19th to the 20th parak. But at least now we see the 19th parak opened up with Rabbi Eliezer de Mila because of his position regarding Machshirin of Mila. Now we see that Rabbi Elazar's position over here in the beginning of the 20th parak also has to do with Machshirin as well. So at least now we get to see the bridge, we get to see the transition bringing us from the 19th parak to the 20th parak. On the topic of a Asiyas Ohel, so the Gemara discussed it extensively. First of all, according to the Chachamim forbid putting the sieve on top of the jug, on top of the jar on Shabbos and on Yontif as well. It is a Asiyas Ohel. First issue we discussed today, and if you do so, what would one be subject to? So a debate, but the conclusion of the Gemara is, it's an Isser Derabanan Uvda Dechol. Next, Abaye, on the top of Kuf Lamed Chesam and Aleph, went through a series of different types of Ohel Arai, some Asur Midrabanan, some Asur D'Araisa, some Mutar Lagamrei. The examples of Mutar Lagamrei are basically your Murphy bed, your folding chair. So those examples of something which is Mutar Lagamrei, it is not a violation of Asiyas Ohel at all. Then the discussion today regarding using a strainer on Shabbos, the wide range position in our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar says it's Mutar Lagamrei. The Chachamim say it's an Issur D'Araisa according to Rav Kahana. The Gemara just was amazed by how wide a gap there is. When one is straining on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do, according to Rav Kahana, it's an Issur D'Araisa to strain on Shabbos. So is it a Tolada of Borer? Is it a Tolada of Merakeid? Sounds like from our Gemara that when you warn, you must invoke the actual Malacha. And we discussed that briefly this morning, and we went all the way back to Tosos back in Ayin Gimel, who does not convince that this is in fact so. Finally, other examples of Ohel Arai finished up the Amud Aleph, and then on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, we discussed making a wall. According to Rashi, there's no prohibition about making a wall whatsoever, because Ohel is only for the roof. But again, that's Rashi's position, and not all Rishonim are in agreement with Rashi. Then, making a canopy where the canopy comes up to a point, and it's not four posts, but it's just simply two posts, and the sheets meet each other at the tip, is that going to be mutter? The answer is yes, but with a lot of qualifications. The Gemara has four, maybe three qualifications on that, and that was the Amud Beis. We then discussed a hat with a brim. Is that an issue of Ohel? According to Rashi, the Gemara thought it was, but then the Gemara says no. It's just an issue of whether or not the hats fit on your head tightly or it's not tightly. And finally, the last thing we discussed this morning is three halachas in the name of Rav, two of them having to do with Hilchos Shabbos, one having to do with Torah. The first one having to do, going back to our issue with the thermos and the leather pouch and stretching it across the post, making a distinction whether one or two people are tying it. Second halakha having to do with a kira where it lost a leg. According to Rav, even one leg, even if it loses one leg, it's going to become it's no longer going to be a kli on that for that Shabbos because you're going to be tempted to put the leg back in. And finally, the status of Torah for all future. A discussion, a debate amongst the Amoraim and Tanaim as to whether or not there will ever be a historical period in time in which we're going to forget the Torah. According to Rav, there will be a point in time, and according to the Rashbi, there will never be a point in time.